everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
Is there more to our world than meets our eyes? Is ancient mythology colliding with our present reality? New York Times bestselling author Jonathan Cahn now releases The Avatar, The Return of the Ancients, and The Future of America. Who are the Avatars, and what do they have to do with what's happening in America? Discover the mystery of The Avatar, and what it means for the future, and what you need to know. The Avatar by Jonathan Cahn, the book you can't afford not to read.
How does a 10-time New York Times number one international best-selling author of works entitled The Harbinger, The Mystery of the Shemitah, The Book of Mysteries, The Paradigm, The Oracle, Harbinger 2, The Return, The Return of the Gods, The Josiah Manifesto, and The Dragon's Prophecy, now made into a Dinesh D'Souza must-see film of the same name, have yet even more spiritual prophetic downloads given by God with explicit comparisons matched by biblical accuracy? Here to answer this and more in his latest explosive read, The Avatar, The Ancient Mystery and Guide for the End Times, is its author. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome back to Testimony, always an honor, founder of hopeoftheworld.org, internationally renowned prophet, messianic believer, teacher, and named one of this nation's top 40 spiritual leaders, along with Billy Graham, impacting our world for generations to come, and with 100 million YouTube views to date, he's just getting started. Please welcome my dear, dear friend, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. Rabbi Cahn, Jonathan, sir, welcome back to Testimony.
Always great to be back with you, Jensen.
Well, it's great to have you. First of all, you never cease to amaze, and your latest must-read, The Avatar, is no exception. So let's get right to it. First question. Explain to our audience what the word avatar means, and then take us to India and Cuba, where you discovered at the risk of your own life mysteries linked to these, quote, avatars, and how they are present in our society today. Rabbi Cahn, please tell us that story.
Yeah, well, The Avatar has to be the most explosive book I've written because it's dealing with if we pulled away the realm, a veil, away from what we're watching, you know, in the world and the news, there's a whole nother realm. There's a whole nother dimension. There are mysteries there that are unfolding. We don't even realize it, and it's explosive. There's a template from the Bible that actually tells us what is happening, what is going to happen. It's the mystery behind the leaders of our nation, of the mystery of the avatars. An avatar is a person or entity that represents or embodies another entity or person. It was used in the ancient world and even today in the world where they worship gods to speak of people who are like indwelt by the gods. Well, could this actually be affecting us today? Could there actually be avatars, in the world and on the national stage? I've spoken about the gods before, or these are, when I say that, I'm talking about the principalities. The Bible says behind the gods are spirits, dark spirits. And the thing is that I've spoken about it, but I've never written about my own encounters with them. And in The Avatar, I set the stage by doing that. By, first of all, going across the world, I was asked to go to India. And there was so much happening. I mean, I've never seen the power of God and the power of the enemy so strong. I mean, by the second day, me and my team were almost killed. I mean, that's how great the warfare was. And at the end, I'm standing in front of thousands of Indian people, and it's at night in the dark outside, and I decide to sound the trumpet of God, the shofar. And the Bible says that it represents the power of God, and I do. and we don't know what happens. If you can imagine being at an exorcism, except multiply that by thousands of times. It was like a mass exorcism, people screaming, I mean, like a mass deliverance. I mean, and the people in India are not reading the Bible, you know, and you know, the Bible says when you're in warfare, sound the trumpet and the enemy will flee or you'll defeat the enemy. Well, for ages, Jewish people have sounded the trumpets during exorcisms in the belief that the spirits flee. But the people in India don't know that. It just happened. And I saw the reality of the spiritual realm. And after that, I gave a message for salvation. We saw about 75,000 Indian people pray to receive Jesus as their Lord. Yeah. And then I'm asked to go to, you know, under Fidel Castro, Cuba. You know, he opened the island up for a month for there to be some kind of freedom for Christians, and I was asked to open it up. And I'm in a city which a region called the Orientes, and there's a mountain over the city where they worship the gods of Santeria. That's the gods in the kind of their religion in Cuba. And you know, on top of the mountain they have a pavilion of where they have idols and sacrifices. And I said, okay, we're going up the mountain. So I go up the mountain. I have the shofar, the trumpet with me. Get to the top. There's a guy standing in front of the pavilion. He calls out to me. I don't know the guy though. He comes over. He says, "I've been waiting for you, Jonathan." And I've never met the guy before. He's holding in his hand a plate, a ceramic plate, and on the ceramic plate is a painting of me. It's a painting of me blowing the shofar, the trumpet that I brought up to the top of the mountain.
Wow.
And he says, "No," he says, "I'm a Christian." He says, "God told me to paint this. He told me to put the plate, hang it up in the house of the gods." And he did. He said something happened that night. The leather strap of the holding up breaks apart. Plate comes down, strikes the head of the idol, the chief god of Cuba called Ochun. And at the and the next morning, the worshippers of the gods open up their temple, and they find their god, their chief god, on the floor and had a crown, and the crown was removed. And next to it is this plate of this Jewish guy with a horn, and the plate struck the head of the goddess just where the sound comes out of the shofar, because that's where it was chipped. And so the word came down the mountain, and we got reports, people in that city, all across the city, were coming out to the churches with it, bringing their gods, their idols, and saying, "Smash our idols." We heard what happened on the mountaintop, and revival broke out in Cuba.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, author of his number one New York Times bestselling, The Avatar. You've carefully researched the origins of the avatars, which in today's social media climate may seem harmless, but in the end can be linked to demonic, as you just alluded to, entities that ultimately seek human vessels to inhabit. Can you explain?
Okay, yeah. Well, in the ancient world, they believed that, I mean, the king of Egypt, the pharaohs, were considered to be avatars of the Egyptian gods, the kings of Babylon, avatars of the Babylonian gods. I mean, all throughout that time. And it makes sense because the Bible says that behind these gods are spirits, and the spirits are, you know, they seek to possess. And if you can rule the king, you can rule the kingdom. And so could we actually be at a place where we're seeing this happen even in America? You know, because, you know, what I shared, you know, one of the mysteries is that if you empty a culture of God, that emptiness won't stay empty. It will be filled by other gods. And Western civilization was actually delivered from these gods and, you know, these spirits by the gospel. When the gospel came out, it drove them out. It was like a mass exorcism. But the warning is, if we empty ourselves of God, what was cast out will come back in. And so one of the things I reveal is that we can actually identify the gods or spirits, these ancient entities that are actually at work in America. But could we be at the point now where we could actually see people who are linked to the gods? I mean, whether they know it or not. And by the way, it's not about people. We have no enemies. We pray for people. You know, they don't know what they're doing. But I'll give you an example from the book, from the Avatar. There, you know, the word avatar comes from India. And in India, they believe that there's one house that particularly produces avatars. It's called the House of the Brahmins, and you know, this is the house of the priests of the Hindu gods, and that the people are born there that actually are linked to the gods. Well, from the House of Brahmin was born a person who was named Kamala Harris. She was born of the House of the Brahmins, and in fact, her Hindu family name is Gopalit, which is named after a Hindu avatar. And according to, and again, it's not that she knows what she's doing, but an avatar has to be linked to a god or goddess. Well, the reason why she was called Kamala is because Kamala, the name Kamala, is the name of an ancient Hindu goddess, ancient pagan goddess named Kamala. And her middle name is Devi, which literally means the goddess. So her name means Kamala the goddess. I mean, and that's actually found in Hindu writings. And the amazing thing is that her life has been following this mystery of this ancient goddess. You know, there's so much. I'll give one part of it. And that is that this goddess was the number two ruler in the land. Well, think about Kamala Harris becomes the number two ruler, the vice president in America. And, you know, for Kamala Harris, the number one was Joe Biden, you know, and it was called Sleepy Joe, you know, and all the whole thing. Well, the number one god, who the goddess Kamala was, you know, with, was called Vishnu, and Vishnu was called the sleeping god. And you know, Kamala, you know, Harris, the one thing that was distinctive and unique is that she was laughing all the time, and she'd laugh at the wrong times. It was called Laughing Kamala. Well, the name Devi appears in Hindu writings to speak of the laughing goddess, the laughing goddess. And there is a day on the Hindu calendar, the Eastern calendar, that is devoted to the worship of this particular goddess, the goddess Kamala. Well, the thing is, it's called Sharad Purnima. And the amazing thing is that on Sharad Purnima, when India was worshiping this goddess, Kamala, that is the day in America, while this is happening in India, that Kamala Harris was born, entered the world on the day of Kamala, the goddess. And on that day, that night, they believe that Kamala, the goddess Kamala, enters the world. And so literally at that same moment, she enters the world. I mean, this person named Kamala. And they believe that holiday celebrates the birth or the birthday of the goddess. Well, so the woman Kamala was born on the day of the birth of the goddess Kamala. And so as she's born all over the world, they're chanting the name Kamala as she's born into the world. I mean, and she had no idea, and nobody could have put this together. But this is the sign of the avatar. Because think about it, she was almost the leader of America. You know, America was dedicated to God and to live as one nation under God, governed by God. Had she had won this last election, we would be governed by one named the goddess. I mean, talk about a sign.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you're listening to Rabbi Jonathan Kahn and his explosive must-read, The Avatar, and how you've connected the, quote, ancient origins of the avatar, yes, to these three political figures, Kamala Harris, yes, which you just alluded to. It's amazing. Next question. Charlie, yeah, Kirk, founder of Turning Point USA, was tragically assassinated, as we all know, on September 10th, 2025, at the young age of 31, and was recently awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, October 14th, 2025, what would have been his 32nd birthday. Talk about, if you would, what his death, martyrdom, means for the youth of today, and any words of uplift or prophetic insight for his widow, Erica Kirk, and the Turning Point organization.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a sign of the times, because it's amazing, because when the Avatar came out, it came out the week that led up to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And the mysteries of the Avatar are linked to it, because it's talking about we are in a spiritual war, a spiritual warfare. And, you know, it's something, because 2 days before the assassination, something came out on the web, and it was that a woman had paid for witches to place a curse on Charlie Kirk. And this came out, you know, and 2 days later, he's assassinated. Now, God's in control. He's the only one who can allow something. There are forces at work. And the thing is, Donald Trump also has had witches, literally, place curses on him and on Donald Trump. And the thing is that, and in fact, and he was also almost assassinated. He had two assassination attempts, and one was totally, beyond miraculous that he was saved. But the thing is that it's interesting because the witches recently, there was articles where they're saying our spells against Donald Trump are not working. And they said it seems he has a shield around him. And they said they believe that shield was the prayers of Christians. And so, you know, there's a reason why God spared, you know, Donald Trump. It's because he had a reason for that. And same with Charlie Kirk. There's a reason why it happened. You know, because through this, there's actually been, you know, the beginnings of a revival. People, you know, young people coming to churches, young people, you know, rising up. And so this is part of the spiritual warfare we're in right now. And, you know, speaking of Donald Trump, you know, the mystery of Trump, one of the things that I'm opening up in the Avatar is that there is a, you know, there is a template from the Bible of these ancient kings or queens from Israel, actually when the nation was falling from God. And each king is like the prototype of a modern American leader and is the mystery of that leader. You could almost say that the leader is almost like an avatar of these ancient ones. And I mean, everybody from Bill Clinton to Barack Obama, from Hillary Clinton to Osama bin Laden, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Donald Trump. And the mystery with Donald Trump is that he, you know, is a man called Jehu. And Jehu, yes, was, you know, a fighter. He wasn't a politician. He was wild. He was unpredictable. He was, you never knew what he was going to do next. He made an alliance with the religious conservatives of Israel. So Donald Trump made an alliance with the religious conservatives of America. And he, in order to come to power, Jehu had to stand against and overcome the nation's former first lady. Well, her name was Jezebel. But in the modern case, the American Jehu, Trump, had to come to power. He had to overcome the nation's former first lady, who was Hillary Clinton. And, you know, Hillary Clinton had been on the national stage, political stage, with her husband for 22 years. And on her own, in public office or running for president, she was on, you know, in that public office for 14 years. Well, the ancient queen, Jezebel, was actually on the national stage with her husband with Ahab for 22 years and on her own for 14 years. So this is all, everything we're watching is part of this ancient mystery. And even why Donald Trump won the election in 2016, because it was the template of Jehu. He was ultimately against a woman with an anti-biblical agenda. But in 2020, that wasn't the template of Jehu, and he didn't prevail. But in 2024, the template of Jehu resurrected. And so again, he was standing against a woman with an anti-biblical agenda, which is Kamala Harris. That's why he won. So this mystery is actually determining the very outcomes of the elections in America. And the other thing is, it's what it also determines. It's like we're pulling away the veil about what's happening right now. Because Jehu, what did he do when he came to power? He purged the government of the House of Ahab. And so Donald Trump has been purging the government of America. So, I mean, it's amazing. But once you get this, or you open up this mystery, it's so clear.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so honored to have Rabbi Jonathan Cahn with us today, speaking about his latest blockbuster release, The Avatar. Jonathan, President Trump has become what many in media are calling the, quote, peace president, having stopped 8 wars to date, and now a historic ceasefire between Hamas and Israel, with world leaders coming to the table to be on the, quote, White House peace board, despite Norway's Nobel Peace Prize snub, and left-leaning leaders such as Hillary Clinton praising Trump's effort to this end. Your thoughts on that, and no doubt more important, the incredible victory of this first phase of the peace deal between Hamas and Israel, and now the second phase for a total cease and desist by Hamas, when the two ideologies have never been in agreement 3,000 plus years and counting.
Yeah, the mystery that of all this is actually, I was led to, and we began talking about it last year, because I was led to write The Dragon's Prophecy, which is saying that what we're watching in Israel, first of all, is part of an ancient war, that basically of the enemy seeking to destroy the nation of Israel or the Jewish people, which he's been trying to do for like over 3,000 years. And so it's amazing because the Bible speaks about it and we're watching it literally unfold. And the day that October 7th, 2 years ago, it all happened. It fell on a Hebrew holy day. Well, the enemy, and I mean by that, I mean Satan, you know, he seeks to defile the things of God. So he attacks Israel on a holy day of God. And it was to be a day of rejoicing. And, you know, that day, that holiday, the Jewish people go out and they sing and they dance and they on the streets and they give out candies and rejoice. And well, that day, 2 years ago, on that day, the enemy took away their joy and turned their joy into mourning. But in the camp of the enemies of Israel, that's where the rejoicing was. And they went out of their houses and they danced and sang in the streets, clapped their hands and handed out candy throughout the Gaza and the Islamic world. And they were actually doing what the Jewish people were. It was like the devil's holiday, you know, and he took their joy away. But now, through President Trump, most centrally, you have the release of the hostages. It happened on October 13th. Well, October 13th was again a biblical holiday. So this all started on a biblical holiday. It all came to its conclusion on a biblical holiday. And that Monday was called Hoshana Rabbah, which means the day of the great Hosanna. And it's where the Jewish people pray prayers with the word Hosanna or Hoshiana. And what Hosanna means Lord, save, save us, save us. For 2 years, the Jewish people have been praying, Lord, save, save. The hostages have been praying, save, Hosanna, save. Well, on the day of Lord, save, the Lord saved. So that's the first thing. Second, you know, that at sunset on Monday, it turned into another holiday, which was the same exact holiday on which Israel was invaded on October 7th. 2 years before, the same exact day when the enemy took away, it was supposed to be a day of joy, took away their joy. Well, God restored their joy on the same exact day. And again, the people of Israel were in the streets and they were celebrating the return of their children. They were dancing and singing for joy. So God always has the last word. You know, that's the ultimate thing. The devil will try to do his thing, but God will have the last word.
Amen and amen. Jonathan Kahn, there is so much to unpack in your latest revelatory read, The Avatar, but you make it easy, in particular, your summation in chapter 82, giving great insight, warning, and yet every hope, and I list for your comments in our remaining time here today, The War of Kingdoms, The Purpose of the Window, J. Hughes' Omission, The Warning, The Answer, The If of Revival, Redemption, For Which One the Trumpet Will Sound, What Must We Do, and last but not least, In the End. We, of course, need more time, but if you had to pick one that is critical to all, what would it be and why?
There is always hope, and that is what every book I write, ends with hope. And what is God calling us to do? What is the prophetic moment we're in, and what is God calling us to do? There is a purpose. There's a purpose of Donald Trump, and not whether he knows it or not. It doesn't matter, And the thing, a quick example of that, he was almost assassinated in Butler, Pennsylvania, but there was an mystery behind it that I open up, and it's important because you know, when God was going to use somebody for his purposes, there was a certain ceremony they went through, and that was the priests of Israel. They had to go through it, and it involved blood. And according to the mystery, the blood has to touch the ear of the one who's going to be used for God's purposes. So it touches Trump's ear. It has to touch the right ear, so it touches the right ear. It has to touch the tip of the right ear, touches the tip of the right ear. Then it has to touch the hand. So first thing that Trump does is he lifts his hand to his ear, and the blood touches his hand. It has to be the right hand, touches the right hand. Then, according to the ancient ceremony, his shoes have to be removed from his feet. Well, his shoes were removed from his feet on that stage. And then 7 Hebrew days after the blood touches the ear of the one being anointed, 7 days later, on the Hebrew day, he receives the vestment of the office he's going to be put in. Well, 7 Hebrew days later, if you count sundown to sundown, the 7th day begins on Thursday night, and Trump receives the nomination to become president. And so there is a purpose for all this. There's a reason for it. We've got a window. Trump is part of that window. It's not about Trump. But Jehu is a window too, but not about Jehu. It's about the window is not about a government. You see, if we change the government, but we don't change the people's hearts, the unchanged hearts will change the government back. So the thing is that the only thing that can save America is revival. And so we've been given a window for revival. That is what it's all about. The only thing that can save America. So if we drive out, you know, we're rolling back all these evil agendas, great. But if we don't replace replace it with the presence of God in revival, then these things are coming back. So we have to pray as never before for revival. We got to work for revival, minister for revival, and actually choose to live in revival. Because the only thing that can save America is revival, if my people. So we have an incredible window. We don't know if we'll have it again. That is the point of the Avatar. That's what it's to reveal, and that is the hour we're in right now.
Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, founder of hopeoftheworld.org, senior pastor of the Jerusalem Center, Beth Israel, Wayne, New Jersey, number one New York Times bestselling author of 10 blockbuster reads, his latest, most riveting to date, The Avatar, The Return of the Ancients, and The Future of America. You can learn more about Jonathan's work, ministry, and mission by visiting hopeoftheworld.org and get his books at booksbyjonathankahn.com, as well as Amazon or wherever books are sold. You will be blessed, encouraged, equipped, and given great hope that you did. Rabbi Kahn, Jonathan, sir, thank you for once again bringing your voice to testimony for such a time as this. Your latest must-read, The Avatar, is a clarion call for us all to shore up our beliefs, repent of any sin, expose and cast down any avatar demons in disguise that seek to rob, steal, kill, and destroy our destiny in Christ, the future of America, our family, this nation, and souls for the kingdom. When we do, you make it clear, and brilliantly so. We thank you, we are grateful, and God bless you. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, Jensen. Thank you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensen Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensenbard.com. That's one word, JensenBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensen Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.